Welcome back, everyone. Ready for another deep dive?
Absolutely. Always excited to jump back into these worlds.
Well, today we're heading back to Alagisia, but we're shifting our focus a bit.
Oh, from dragons and riders to...
to Murtaugh. You know, yeah. The guy who always seemed to be caught between sides.
Oh, Murtaugh. Complex character, to say the least.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And we're specifically diving into his standalone book, Murtaugh.
Which, for anyone listening who might not know, takes place a year after Inheritance, the final book in the Inheritance cycle.
Exactly. So we've already seen him go through a lot. But this book, it goes even deeper.
It really delves into what happens after the dust settles. You know, what's it like for someone like Murtaugh, who was Galbatorix's enforcer for years, to suddenly be free?
And not just free, but carrying the weight of all those actions he was forced to do.
Exactly. It's not a simple happily ever after situation. The book starts with him wrestling with a ton of guilt and trauma, practically becoming a recluse.
You almost see a completely different side of him, right? He's haunted by this Murtaugh the Betrayer label, and you can tell it eats at him.
And right when he's at this low point, he finds this mysterious stone. It's not just some random rock, though. It has this strange energy, a connection to a witch woman named Batchel.
Batchel's a whole other story. But yeah, that stone really becomes the catalyst for Murtaugh's journey in this book. It pulls him out of isolation and sends him on this quest for answers.
Which, in a way, mirrors his own internal search for meaning and purpose, right? He's lost his old identity, and now he's trying to figure out who he is and what his place is in this world.
It's like that stone represents the mystery of his own future. And that path leads him to some unexpected encounters, like with the Werecats in Gilead.
We've seen glimpses of Werecats in the Inheritance cycle, but this book really gives us a deeper look at their culture and their struggles.
I love that part, especially his interactions with this young Werecat named Silna. You see this compassionate, almost protective side of Murtaugh that we haven't really seen before.
It challenges the image we might have of him from the previous books, right? He's not just this hardened warrior anymore. There's this vulnerability and empathy that Paolini brings out so well.
Absolutely. But just when you think things are settling into a pattern, Murtaugh learns about the Dramar, this secretive cult that worships a being called Aslagur. Their whole vibe is just creepy.
Oh, yeah. The Dramar definitely add a layer of suspense and mystery. And they believe Murtaugh and his dragon, Thorn, are key figures in some prophecy.
Which, of course, throws everything for a loop. You're constantly wondering, what are their motives? What is this prophecy? And what role does Murtaugh really play in it all?
It's like Paolini is constantly raising the stakes, keeping you on the edge of your seat. You know something big is coming, but you have no idea what it is or what the consequences will be.
And let's not forget about Thorn. He's dealing with his own trauma from being imprisoned by Galbatorix.
Their bond is really tested in this book. They're both fighting their own inner demons, but they're also trying to support each other.
It makes you wonder, though, can Murtaugh ever truly escape the shadow of Galbatorix? Can he forge his own path, or will he always be defined by his past?
That's the big question, isn't it? And it's something Paolini really makes you think about. There are no easy answers. And it forces you to confront the complexities of redemption and forgiveness.
It's a roller coaster, that's for sure. But in the best way possible, you're constantly guessing. And just when you think you know what's going to happen, Paolini throws another curveball.
Which is exactly what makes it so good. You're fully invested in Murtaugh's journey and the world he's navigating. It's more than just a spinoff. It's a vital part of the overall story.
It truly is. And honestly, we've barely scratched the surface. We haven't even talked about his encounter with the imprisoned Urgal, Uvek, or this surprising connection he forms with a young Dramar acolyte named Aline.
Oh, those encounters are crucial. They really push Murtaugh to confront his own prejudices and beliefs.
It's like peeling back the layers of an onion, you know. You think you know Murtaugh, and then there's this whole other level of depth and complexity revealed.
It's brilliant. And it makes you realize that he's not just a villain or a hero, but something much more human.
He's a survivor trying to figure out his place in a world still reeling from Galbatorix's reign.
And that's a story that resonates on so many levels, right? It's about freedom, identity, and finding hope in the face of darkness. All set against the backdrop of this amazing world that Paolini has created.
If you're a fan of the Inheritance cycle, Murtaugh is a must-read. It adds so much to the story and makes you rethink everything you thought you knew.
And even if you haven't read The Inheritance Cycle, it stands on its own as this powerful tale of redemption and self-discovery.
So are you ready to dive deeper into Murtaugh's story?
We're just
getting started, and trust me, things are about to get really interesting. You know, thinking about it more, One of the most powerful themes in Murtaugh is freedom. But it goes so much deeper than just like breaking free physically.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Murtaugh might be free from Galbatorix, but the trauma, the guilt from all those years, it's like another kind of prison.
Right. It's mental and emotional. And Paolini really highlights that through other characters too. Like Thorne is terrified of enclosed spaces after being locked up for so long.
Yeah, that claustrophobia is a direct result of his imprisonment. And then you have Silna, that young werecat. Her story shows what happens when freedom is taken away, that loss of innocence.
It's like Paolini is weaving all these individual stories together to paint this bigger picture of what freedom really means.
Exactly. It makes you ask, is it just about not being physically restrained, or is it something more?
And that question really hit me when Murtaugh is struggling with that whole Murtaugh the Betrayer thing. It's like he can't escape that label, even though he had no choice.
It's like he's trapped by his own past, right? He can't fully embrace being free because those memories are still holding him back.
And it's so similar to Thorne's fear. He's free, but the trauma from his captivity is still there. Remember that scene in Captain Wren's secret chamber?
Oh, yeah. Thorne, this powerful dragon, is reduced to panic because that enclosed space triggers all those awful memories.
It just shows how deeply trauma affects everyone, even a dragon. It's like even when you're physically free, there are these invisible wounds that can still hold you captive.
Speaking of healing, I think Aline's character is really important here. She's that young Draumar acolyte, and she hasn't been physically imprisoned like Murtaugh or Thorne, but she's trapped in a different way.
Yeah, she's been indoctrinated by the Draumar, their beliefs, rituals. It's all she's ever known.
It's a subtler form of control, but it's still control.
But seeing Murtaugh and how he's trying to break free, it makes Aline start to question everything.
That questioning, that desire for something more, is the first step towards breaking free from that mental and emotional confinement.
And I love how she shows compassion for Murtaugh. It shows that even in the darkest places, there's still hope for connection and understanding.
It's like a reminder that freedom isn't just something you achieve on your own. It often takes the support and compassion of others.
Right. It's about reaching out and recognizing that we're all struggling in our own ways. And that brings us to Uvak, the Urgul, who forms that blood oath with Murtaugh.
Oh, Uvak. Their alliance is so unexpected, and it really forces Murtaugh to confront his own prejudices.
He's been raised to fear and hate Urgles, right? But through their interactions, he starts to see Uvak as an individual, not just some monster.
It's such a powerful message about the importance of perspective. Like, are we truly free if we're still clinging to biases and fears that prevent us from seeing others for who they really are?
It's a good point. Are we letting those things hold us back?
Exactly. And that's what makes Murtaugh so powerful. It doesn't just tell a story. It makes you think critically and question your own beliefs.
Paolini doesn't give us easy answers. He presents us with these complex situations and lets us figure it out for ourselves. It's what I love about his writing.
He's asking us to consider what true freedom means, not just for the characters, but for ourselves, too.
It's a story that stays with you long after you've finished reading it. And it definitely makes you appreciate the different facets of freedom in your own life. You know, one thing that really stuck with me after finishing this book is the atmosphere.
Oh, tell me about it. Like, Paolini's descriptions, especially of those creepy places, they're so vivid.
Right, like Nal Gorgoth, that Draumar stronghold. It's seriously unsettling.
It is. It's like he just drops you right into this village in this valley, and it feels ancient, you know, like something really bad happened there a long time ago.
Yeah, and then there's that Tower of Flint just looming over everything, all made of that weird black stone.
I remember reading that part and getting chills. It's described as almost evil, like a physical representation of the Draumar and their twisted beliefs.
And the carvings. Did you notice those too?
Yeah.
Like all around the village, Murtaugh finds these carvings.
Oh, yeah. All those strange figures and symbols. It's like they're messing with your mind a little bit.
Totally. And those creatures Murtaugh finds in the caverns under Nal Gorgoth. The finger rat.
Oh, yeah, those things. Pale, hairless, and with those creepy long fingers.
And that cry. Like a child, but not.
Definitely disturbing. They're scavengers drawn to death, you know. Just adds to the whole creepiness factor down there.
It's interesting, though, how the finger rats seem to just be kind of there. Like they're on the edges of the Draumar world, but not really part of it.
It's almost like they represent this darker side of the Draumar, you know? Like an unintended consequence of all their rituals and obsession with power.
Makes you think, right? Like maybe Paolini's using all this, the creepy places, the creatures, the rituals, to show how tempting power can be. but also how dangerous it is if you don't control it.
And that's what I love about Paolini's writing. He doesn't spell everything out for you. He gives you all these pieces, these complex characters, and then he lets you figure out what it all means.
It makes you think, and it stays with you long after you finish the book.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, that's why I love coming back to Alagisia and all these characters.
Me too. It's more than just fantasy, you know? There are these deeper layers, these questions about morality and choice. And that really resonates.
Absolutely. So if you haven't checked out Murtaugh yet, I highly recommend it. It's an amazing addition to the inheritance cycle. And like we said, it can even stand on its own.
It really is a journey, and it'll make you think about a lot of things long after you've finished it.
It has been such a great discussion. I always love diving into these books and seeing all the different perspectives.
Me too. It's been a pleasure.
And to all our listeners, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into Murtaugh. We'd love to hear your thoughts, too. What resonated with you? What questions are still swirling around in your head? Until next time, keep exploring those amazing worlds out there.